Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Cover Your Assets KC. I'm Walter Storholt alongside David Dickens, President and Wealth Advisor at KC Financial Advisors, serving you throughout Kansas City with an office in Overland Park. And can you believe it? It's our first episode of 2021. David, we did it. We made it through 2020. Can you believe it?
2020 in the rearview mirror. Man, does that sound good to me.
Sounds and feels good, doesn't it?
It does. What a year.
It's interesting because every year we set those New Year's resolutions, right? I mean, I think anybody could probably have guessed we might be talking about that a little bit on today's show. I will say I've been much less motivated to set New Year's resolutions for 2021 than any other year because I'm kind of like, I survived 2020. I don't need to make any New Year resolutions.
Really? Let's just coast a little bit.
Yeah. We're ready to just, the word is just survive again in 2021. Then we can start moving forward again maybe as we get ready for 2022 or at least, you know, that intentional, okay, this is the new year. I'm going to set some goals. You know, I don't know. We'll see. I just will say personally, I've been less motivated to like actually make a list. But we're going to fix that on today's show because we're going to focus on finances and 2021 financial New Year's resolutions that we can make. And we've got so many good ones, we're going to make this a two-part series.
I like that. Yeah. And these are really meant to be not stretch goals, not, you know, like your normal New Year's resolution. Well, I'm going to lose 10 pounds. What happens if you don't? Well, you do it again next year. My hope here is that we have, so between the two episodes, we're going to have seven things to talk about. And my hope is that you sit down and listen to this with a piece of paper and a pen in hand and say, you know what? He's talking to me on this one, and I'm actually going to do it because it's really important to my financial future. So this is an opportunity, I think, to take the reins. Some of these you're going to say, great. I've already got that done. Well, good for you. And that's awesome. You might have a friend or a son or a daughter or a parent who doesn't. So hopefully these are super actionable. And by the end of January, hopefully, heck, by the end of next week, hopefully you have all seven of these nailed down for yourself so that you've got 2021 and a bunch of the future all teed up and ready for you for some financial success.
So I think most of these will be easy to set your mind to, hopefully, and accomplish, but that doesn't make them any less important to think about and take these action steps to improve your financial situation. I mean, if you knock off all seven of these things, you're going to be in pretty good shape at the start of the year for your financial situation. And whether that be you're close to retirement, even already retired, or even if it's still far in the distance, all of these action items are going to be really helpful for you to kind of get things organized and make sure that you're on the right track to get to and through that retirement.
Yeah, and I like the way you teed that up because our listeners are, it's a wide variety. We have people in their 20s. We have people in their 70s. We have people that are just getting started in their work life. We have people that are well off and not really worried about too much about, they're fine tuning. They're not worried about things. And then we have a lot of people that are still working and a good number of people that are already retired. These financial New Year's resolutions will be applicable to the vast majority of our listeners, not necessarily all seven, but they're going to be applicable to either you or to people you know. So hopefully it's a really good series that you can take some action on.
Well, we're all excited to be in 2021 and not 2020 anymore, David. So let's dive on in. What's first on the list?
Well, the first is really one of the most basic things that everybody needs to make sure they have in place, whether you're in your 20s or your 70s, and that is establish that emergency fund. Now, you know, you've heard that from a lot of different areas, but it's one of the easiest things to ignore, and it's not a big deal until it's a big deal. So what you want to do is make sure that for whatever goofy thing comes up in your financial life, maybe it's a $1,000 set of tires, or your laptop dies and you have to have a new laptop, or your car dies, or you have to have some surgery, or maybe, a horrible thing, you lose your job and you're out of work for 3 months. So those are all things that an emergency fund will set you up for success against. Now, typically in my business, the word of wisdom is you want to have 6 months of living expenses set up in some off the way, out of the way place. Maybe it's a bank account, maybe it's a savings account. Theoretically, it could be a brokerage account, but some place where you know if you have to go get a couple of 2 or 3 or 6 months worth of living expenses, you can go get it and not sweat the details. So, Walter, why this is important to me is because what that does is it keeps you from running up credit card bills to do those things that you otherwise would use your emergency fund for. And everybody knows how I view credit card bills, but they're the most expensive way to solve your problems. And so having that emergency fund, super important, and it's going to keep you from running up credit card bills.
That's an interesting way to put that, David. I like how you said that. Can you say that one more time? It's the most expensive way to solve your problems. That's a different way of looking at credit card expenditures.
Yeah. If you got your credit card and you pay it off every month, it's no big deal. And you probably got some airline miles or some hotel points to go with it. But when you carry that balance over month to month, it is a very expensive, probably the most expensive way to solve your spending problems. So just don't do it.
Yeah, it's a great point. So emergency fund, build it up. Interestingly, David, this is, I didn't make it a resolution, like, you know, to say it's part of my resolutions for the year, since as we covered, I kind of, you know, not writing those down this year. But I sneakily, I guess, didn't even think about the fact I was making it a resolution. This was one of my goals for 2021, is to build up the emergency fund beyond just sort of, you know, a very basic emergency fund and have it be something that truly could. I've obviously been inspired by this year to get in a little bit better shape in the emergency fund in case something bad were to happen job-wise to my wife or I, we'd be okay for that, you know, 3 to 6 months. I even kind of like subscribing to that idea of that 6 to 12 months. Maybe not all of our expenses for 6 to 12 months, but I kind of think of it as like if at least we can cover the mortgage for 6 to 12 months, that'd be a pretty good position to be in. And then, you know, if we have to live on beans and rice and, you know, oodles and noodles, we can make that happen.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to trim down your expenses when you have a financial emergency, but there's certain things
when you have motivation.
But there are certain things you can't push, like your mortgage and your car payment, and so those are things that, you know, are super important, and you got to have some money in reserve. Plus, it adds a level of confidence to the way you can carry out your financial life. If you have that relatively small pot of money sitting somewhere where you know you can go get it anytime you need it, it's a super peace of mind statement that you can make to yourself.
Your own safety net, and you wonder why some of the high flying you know, circus acts can go on the trapeze, can go flying and doing so well, and especially when they're experimenting with new tricks and new things like that, it's because they have the safety net underneath. They have that freedom and that power, and like you said, David, that confidence to do those things. It's a bit of an odd comparison, but I think the same is true. When you have that safety net under you financially, it just gives you a little bit more room to experiment, think differently about, you know, how you're spending your money. Maybe there's a good investment that comes along in your life, or the opportunity to help someone that you may not have otherwise been able to do if you didn't have that confidence in your own backstop. So there's a lot of power to that. I think that's important. Well, you mentioned credit cards being an element of that emergency fund discussion. I have an inkling that's where we're going to go in the discussion for financial New Year's resolutions in 2021.
It is, Walter. That's actually number two. So So the emergency fund, one of the things I mentioned is it allows you to not have to tap your credit cards to pay those things. Number two is pay off your credit card debt. We have almost $1 trillion based on usdebtclock.org. You've heard me mention that before, but I just went out today and checked. We have almost $1 trillion of credit card debt in the U.S. today. And one of the things that Dave Ramsey, I'm not a huge Dave Ramsey fan, but I think he does a lot of good things. And one of the things he's really, really focused on is making sure that people get rid of their bad debt, and that is credit card debt. And so I always kind of think of credit card debt as maybe like rust on your car or maybe termites in your home. They're eating away at what you have every day. And you don't really see it until there's big damage. But they're eating away. Credit card debt eats away at your financial future every day in little bites. And you have got to get rid of that. So one of the things you want to make sure that you have a resolution for this year is pay off your credit cards every month. If you have a credit card debt, make sure you take a whack at that by paying it down every month. And maybe it's going to take you 6 months to get rid of that debt. But you don't want to carry that month to month. Here's an example. So for some of my business expenses at KC Financial Advisors, I have a credit card that I use that I charge stuff on and I pay it off every month. But I'm looking at the statement from December and it says that I owe this time about $6,300. And the minimum payment due is only $125. And so when you get your credit card and you think, oh gosh, I can't pay the whole $6,300 off. Maybe I'll just pay a smaller amount. Well, look, to avoid penalties, they only make me pay $125. But then there's a little box in the center of the statement, and it says, if you only pay the minimum due each month, it's going to take you 16 years to pay that $6,300 off. And I will have paid $12,800 to pay off that $6,300. So by the time you finish paying off the balance, if you only pay the minimum, you're going to have paid more in interest than you owed in the first place. Now, not many people are going to actually pay that off over 16 years. But once you get behind and maybe you rack up another $1,000 next month, well, you're unlikely to be able to pay that off plus the balance you carried over. So it is an insidious way for, frankly, banks and credit card companies. They earn a ton of money every year on late fees and interest. And the interest rates on these credit cards can be 15 to 25%. It's a great way to get into serious financial trouble. So the easiest way, just don't do it. Pay off that credit card every month. And if you know you can't pay it off, don't buy what you're going to buy with that credit card. This is a financial New Year's resolution that every American needs to take really seriously. Don't rack up credit card debt.
Yeah, it's such an easy one to say that we can do and to throw on the list. It's much harder to wean off of that, though, and pay that credit card debt down without continuing to add to it. I remember going through that phase.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It is. Go ahead. I'll bet you've got a little story teed
up.
No,
I was just saying, I think for many years, I did very well. I think I went several years of, even from the very beginning, owning a credit card and not having to, and never paying any interest on the card. And then finally one month, let it slip and just said, well, I can float it 1 month, no big deal. And then, you know, the next month, you paid a little bit on it, but you still put some more stuff on it. So you technically didn't really catch back up with paying off all the interest. So you carried it another month. And it's like, it's only a couple of extra bucks of interest that getting thrown on there. Not a big deal. That can become a slippery slope and build up very quickly. And it did for me. I mean, it became one of those things where like, oh, gosh, now this interest is ridiculous. Like, I'm just throwing away money by letting this continue to slide. And was able to buckle down finally and knock it out and be done with it and no more credit card debt since then. But you could start to see that slippery slope developing. I was able to cut it off at the legs, but you could see how if you weren't able to do that and it continued to build up and the amount started to become more insurmountable, just how you could get in trouble and how tough that is to wean yourself off of that.
Yeah, you get behind that and it's really hard to get out of it. So I also get questions about, well, what about a car loan? Or what about a mortgage loan? Is that debt I shouldn't have either? My answer is usually, so once you have an emergency fund and you don't have credit card debt, it's not a big deal most times to have a car loan, especially if it's a 0% or a 2% or a 4%, maybe for 6 years, and you stay steady at paying that thing off. What I'm not a huge fan of, I've mentioned this on podcasts before, I'm not a huge fan of buying an expensive car, paying it off over 6 years, and then trading it in for a brand new car and getting another six-year loan. Kind of give yourself a little rest in between car loans. But car loans are probably perfectly fine. You don't want to have one if you lose your job and you can't pay it. So that's a problem. It can hurt your credit rating. They can come get your car, et cetera, et cetera. Mortgage loans. Well, that's my favorite kind of debt. If you got to have debt, may as well be on a piece of real estate. Why? Well, because real estate, in almost every case, is an appreciating asset. It goes up in value over time if you take care of it, whereas your car loses value every year. And the stuff you buy with your credit card loses value. It probably has no resale value. But with a mortgage, you know, not only do you have an appreciating asset, but every month, part of that payment is, of course, interest that you pay to the bank or the mortgage company. But part of it is principal reduction, such that you're actually adding to your own savings, your own net worth, by paying down the debt on that house while it's appreciating in value. I love mortgage debt, as long as it's, you know, taken on in an amount that makes sense for your lifestyle and your income. And car loan debt is okay, but credit card debt, really, really a bad thing. So, second New Year's resolution, get rid of your credit card debt and never have it again in your life.
It's so big, so important, so helpful. You talk about empowerment with that emergency fund. Well, you get it with paying off that credit card debt too. I know I can speak from experience on that. Many others can as well. All right, what's the third financial New Year's resolution for 2021?
So the third one I've cagely called Cover Your Assets, which, of course, is the name of the podcast. And it's also our website address. But I think it's super, super important that everybody, whether you're in your 20s or 50s or 70s, you insure you and your family against catastrophic risks. What are those? Well, I can think of three that I'm particularly concerned about. One is life and losing that life. So two different examples here. 30-year-old, maybe a couple, young kids. One spouse earns 70 to 100% of the income in the household. That's number one. Number two, 50-year-old empty nesters. Maybe the 401k is a little too small, but now they're really going to put the pedal to the metal and save for the next 15 years until retirement. So let's take those two in order. And I ran a couple of illustrations from a website that I use to look at term life insurance for people. So for instance, this young couple, 30 years old, young kids, one spouse earns the most money. If that spouse dies unexpectedly, the remaining spouse and those kids are likely to be in a heck of a fix, because they've got they have to somehow replace that income that the primary earner was earning for probably 30 or 35 years. Yes, there'll be some Social Security that comes along, but that's not going to cover what that earner was earning. So, for instance, a 30-year-old male, I just chose a male. If you're a female, it's cheaper. 30-year-old male in Kansas, let's just say that you want a 20-year fixed premium term policy, $1 million payoff. You get hit by a bus next week, your spouse and your kids get $1 million tax-free. That costs you $42 a month. Now, the hope is you never need that. And nobody's hoping that they get to collect that $1 million policy. But if something bad happens, you're going to feel really good about your spouse and your kids having $1 million pot that can take them along their life without a lot of financial disruption for 20 or 30 years. Maybe your lifestyle calls for a $2 million policy. Well, that's $84 a month. Why is it so cheap, you might say to yourself? Well, because the risk of you dying is really quite small. But if it happens to you and your family, it's massive. So for not much money out of pocket, as a 30 or 35-year-old, you can ensure that your family gets to carry on financially if something bad happens to you. What if you're 50? You're the empty nesters. Your 401k is a little bit too small, but now you are really going to start killing it. You're going to sock away that money. But what happens if you get hit by a bus next week, next month, or next year? Well, for a 50-year-old, again in Kansas, again $1 million policy, but you only need this for 15 years because you only really want to cover yourself till age 65. That's going to cost you $110 a month. Okay, this is a non-smoker, and if you're in somewhat bad health, it's going to cost you more. But these numbers are not This is really cheap, and term life insurance is as cheap as it's ever been. Why? Because we're living longer. So the insurance company knows the probability of you dropping dead tomorrow for whatever reason, if you're in good health, is really quite small. What you want to do is spend a little bit of money every month to protect against the chance that you're that person. You're that one in 100,000 or one in a half a million that it does happen to. And you just want to put your spouse and your family in the place that they would be if that hadn't happened to you. So that's really what we're talking about here. The first one, cover your assets, which is your life. And if something bad happens, make sure that your family is able to carry on as if you were here from a financial standpoint.
It's great to be able to recap some of these resolutions with you, David. In the interest of time, we mentioned at the beginning of the show, we're going to make this a two-part series. So those are the three so far of our financial New Year's resolutions. We'll have the additional four on next week's show. And David, you wanted to assign a little bit of homework before we get to the final four?
Well, I do. So sometime last year, we talked about doing a net worth statement, doing an annual net worth statement for yourself. And if you've been listening to us that long, you might have already done yours because I suggested you do that right around the turn of the calendar year. If you haven't already done that for year-end 2020, January 2021, I'd encourage you to do that, to update your net worth statement, because I'm going to talk about it next week, and I'm going to suggest certain things that you should look at year over year to help you determine your progress. So if you haven't done that, I'd encourage you to do that over the next week. If you have no idea what we're talking about, then I'd encourage you to tune in next week because it's one of the best tracking mechanisms you can use to make sure that you're on track year over year to achieve your financial goals. So that's part of where we're going next week. Four new New Year's resolutions for the financial part of your life, one of which has to do with your net worth statement. Hopefully these three have been really helpful, if not to you, then to someone in your life that you know. But you really got to make sure that you have that emergency fund, that you pay off credit card debt, and that you cover your assets. In this case, some super cheap life insurance that hopefully you'll never need, but that will carry your family forward in case you do.
We are going to also link to that previous episode. It was part of an episode titled Four Simple Strategies to Increase Your Net Worth, and we talk about the net worth statement in that episode. So it's episode 65, so you can find it easily on maybe whatever podcasting app you're using to listen to the show, or we'll link directly to it in the show notes of today's episode, so it's easy for you to find as well. And as always, we'll have another part two of the Financial New Year's Resolution episode coming up next week. David, really appreciate the help and the guidance this week. Glad that we are off to a good start in 2021. And we'll look forward to doing it again in a week.
That sounds great, Walter. I think we'll have four more really good ones next week, and I'll look forward to that.
We definitely will. Three down, four to go. The 2021 Financial New Year's Resolutions. Come back next week for the rest of the list. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you next time on the Cover Your Assets KC Podcast. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.